Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show. Brentford-Liverpool at the weekend off the back of that 3-0 League Cup win for the Reds and the hammering dished out from Brentford to Oldham as well. Which of them are more important? We'll find out in due course. But yeah, I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined by Ross Chanley and Chris Pajak for this one. And of course, we are live on YouTube as well, as we are for almost everything we do. So much so that I forget that it's quite a cool special thing, but we do that much of it that it is just a thing. But yeah, if you want to interact with us, you can do. That's what the live comments are all for. So if you've got some questions, thoughts, feelings on anything around this game or just in life in general, then get them in and we'll get through them as we go along. Yeah, it's another one of those games, Chris. It's another different test from what we've had last week. It's another two game a week, but obviously heavily rotated side for Norwich is different to what we had to do against AC Milan, but it doesn't make it any less of a challenge, I think, particularly because of some of the injury doubts we've got. We'll come on to them obviously in more detail, but yeah, it's just another different, interesting challenge for us.
Yeah, and it is, and it's partly because we've not played Brentford before, isn't it? And that's where the challenge comes from. And I think, you know, it's always difficult. You're sort of heading into the unknown, I'd guess, as a manager and as a player. As a manager and as a player, when you are going up against lads that you've not played before, I think, you know, they showed first game of the season when they beat Arsenal 2-0, first game of the Premier League season, wasn't it? I think it was the Friday night game, that they can play football. They've had a couple of decent draws, I think, with, like, was it Villa that they drew against earlier on in the season? They've drawn against Palace. You know, it was a close game against a good Brighton side, as it turns out. You know, they're up there near the top of the table right now, Brighton and stuff. So, and they're an unknown, and that's good for Liverpool. I think Liverpool will relish the challenge of that, and having been able to rest a lot of players, made six changes midweek. Going into this game, you'd imagine six changes would be made again, and we'd be reverting to the Premier League side for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing about the Brentford stuff. We'll talk about the other fixtures going on, obviously the big ones, Chelsea, City. So many eyes are going to be on that game, particularly because they kick off before us. It's all well and good, this whole our rivals are going to drop points thing, but you can't take Brentford lightly. You've got to go and just get this done by hook or by crook.
Yeah, that only counts if you put points on the board at the same time, doesn't it? Yeah, it's quite interesting. The result was a 2-0 win against Wolves, I think, was away, and they got someone sent off. So, but the Arsenal stuff's interesting because then that kind of give you a glimpse into the side, what they're fighting for, but also the atmosphere that can create at the Brentford Community Stadium. Sure. Whatever, but that adds to things, doesn't it? If you can provide a hostile atmosphere, Crystal Palace, I've referenced a few times, did it against Spurs. We do it with Anfield. It can add to games. So we not only do we not know what Brentford were like in terms of, you know, what to expect from in players, but also going away to that stadium. You know, there's always pressure on you to do that. I know Arsenal are a different side to us because the crap, but it's still coming into my
Mind. Well, you've got to be careful of laughing at it. It's all well and good laughing at it at the time, but not laughing about it in the build-up to us taking them on. The thing about it, though, Chris, like, Frank's done a great job there. They're playing a good brand of football. Jürgen Klopp's going to absolutely love this because he adores this type of thing where talking about big atmosphere, a football club with a real clear key identity, ethos, we're playing footy, and the Liverpool team will relish this as well. So that's what I like seeing us in that regard, going up against a team we've not seen before to get a feel for them and just see how we handle it.
Yeah, and that's it. And we know that, you know, we are essentially, I suppose, treading a similar path as Brentford, but with just lots more money at our disposal. Yeah. I mean, they were one of the early uptakers in the analytics side of the game in football and stuff like that. And, you know, very much involved in trying to get marginal gains on throw-ins and throwing coaches and all those types of things. And so it'll be interesting to just sort of go against them and see, like, because we've been doing it a long time now. Yep. You know, we've got world-class footballers and that's the difference.
Yeah.
Just how much that works against... Because I think you get those marginal gains when the other team doesn't do them. But when the other team does do them as well, it's like, how much is the golfing class here?
Yeah, well, that's it. Marginal gains, it's all relative, isn't it? Because, you know, it depends on what level you sort of at. And look, the beauty of football is anyone can beat anyone. So, you know, we're sat here, I'm not going to say because of all these things, Liverpool are just, you know, Liverpool should beat Brentford because we've got loads better players than they have and we've got all the experience and all those kind of things mentioned. But you're right, in theory, the marginal gains should differentiate them between another team at their level, which would maybe actually a better calibre of player, but they've worked on all these other things to get more out of what they've got. And that's how Liverpool are getting success against your Chelseas and your Cities, because you can't compete with them in some areas, but what you do, you compete with them by being smarter, by having an ethos, and by clawing little bits and pieces on side for you, you know, in a variety of ways.
10 minutes ago, I never had this build as the marginal gains derby.
But yeah, here we are.
I'm up for a bit of that as well, yeah. And I, funnily enough, I had a quick look at the Brentford side last night and to see how, you know, obviously they destroyed Oldham, as you said before, but I think they wrote, well, I'm going to say rotation. Ivan Toney didn't play. I was going to play that. I kind of know and recognise from that. So I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see what he can provide as well, because I think there's a lot of talk about him, how good he is. Now he's up at the upper echelons of you know, world football. Can he do it against the likes of, you know, a Virgil van Dijk and whoever else might partner him for this game?
We also talk about this, and this is normally only relevant in December when everyone starts to play two games a week, is that we've got a squad and we're a squad that's much more attuned to playing twice a week. So it should benefit us, you know, regardless of, you know, that midweek, the old European hangover type thing.
They've already done it because they played the early round of the EFL Cup as well.
Yeah, you know, and so that, I mean, which furthers the point is they've played more football. So that should benefit us in the long run. But yeah, interesting for them, second best defensive record in the Premier League so far. Only two conceded, only us. I think City and Chelsea, we've only considered the one of them, have gone better. They don't score many though, we've only got 5 and 5, so that's an interesting thing for Liverpool to pay attention to. We're going to discuss the potentials for Liverpool, because obviously at the time of filming, a lot of doubts around this Liverpool squad and just fitness and availability and how that's going to impact Jürgen's thinking. You know, for as deepest areas of the pitch are, we're starting to see one or two sort of creaks in the floorboard, so to speak, in this one. But yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. But we have got a trivia question for you guys. Name the three most recent Liverpool players to also play for Brentford.
Yes. So there you go, I've got all three.
Get involved. Get involved with the Ultimate Nailed Team it. App. The link is in the description underneath. Play along, it's good fun. It's really, really good fun. And I'd say, as keen to stress in these videos, the problem with fantasy football often is that if you don't get on it quick, you'll end up miles behind or whatever. It's weekly play, fantasy football. So yeah, you can just have a go this weekend and get involved. It's completely free to play and it's good fun unpacking the players and that. The trivia question was, name the three most recent Liverpool players to also play for Brentford. The obvious one is, because he's still there,
Sergio Canos.
We've got all three of them, but we only want to tell you one.
Yeah.
Ruins it for the people at home.
Yeah, they've been playing along in the comments. We should have had the comments up. What are we doing?
We didn't really need them.
Stephen Wright was
got
one of
centre back. Okay, nice.
Yeah,
where's the left back? Wasn't he?
He's right back. The other one played under Brendan, signed under Brendan Rodgers, played actually under Jürgen Klopp as well. Attacking midfielder, João Carlos
Teixeira.
Wow. How old is he?
33.
Wow.
24.
Oh, no. I'd have definitely put him close to that. He's 28 years old now.
Yeah. God, yeah. What's he doing with himself?
He,
playing Bradford.
He's, yeah, I think, according to his Wikipedia, he's currently a Feyenoord.
Fair play.
Yeah, absolutely. Decent little career. We sent him on loan to Brentford. He went to Brighton on loan. Went to Porto, Braga, Vitória, Guimarães, and is now at Feyenoord.
He's been a busy boy, hasn't he?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he still seems a smart player. But there you go. If you got that right, you're an absolute football trivia savant. Well done. You're going to do well in life, or really badly, one way or the other. Either way, good on you. Right. Yeah, it's hard for us to predict the 11 right now, honestly, because there's a list of doubts for this Liverpool side. At time of recording, we don't know where Bobby's at. Don't know where Nico's at. We don't know where Thiago's at, Trent, Naby or Milner. And we do know Harvey Elliott is, of course, out as well. Bobby should be in contention. He was supposed to be back in training this week. And I think, you know, if you've got an eye on Porto, it would be useful to get Firmino on the pitch at some point here, Chris. So that, I mean, let's sort of start there, I guess, because he's got to get back in somewhere, and I wouldn't necessarily want to be dropping him straight in. Not that we also necessarily need to, I guess.
No, that's it, isn't it? I think it'd be nice if you can get him some minutes, but I don't think it's a necessity. You know, ultimately, I'd rather him play when he's 100% than if there's a slight lingering doubt over him or something like that. So I think for me, it's probably the front three that we've come to expect recently just jumps back in. They've all had a little bit of a rest now, which is obviously good heading into a big week. They may get rested midweek against Porto ahead of the City game.
That's one thing. And the Porto stuff's interesting. And, you know, at the moment, it was said by Pep Linders, certainly pre-game, Norwich, that Thiago will definitely miss this. We don't know where he's at. You know, we got told Thiago will be back in a month after the derby, and he was out for three. So, you know, let's keep our fingers and toes crossed on that one. Of course, Naby went off injured again, seen as a precaution. But
Pep comes across like he can't hold his water though, as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's told what he believes is the truth. It's whether Jürgen's told him the truth at this point, I reckon.
Yeah, the Naby stuff. You know, we joked a bit on the Final Word show, which you can check out now, streaming on the RedmanTV.com. That. It should be fine because it wasn't a bad injury. It was very much a precautionary injury because I think he's very much in line for a starting place for this game, but none of us has any expectation because of what we know about Naby that he actually will be fit for this.
No, he's probably one of the ones that didn't play a full 90 last night, obviously, so then he's earmarked for this one probably, isn't he? Going, well, Curtis Jones, I'd actually love him to start, but then go, well, actually, he played quite a bit of football last night. So Fabinho got the night off. Henderson played a little bit part in that, which I thought was really important. Then you kind of scrape him round, whether James Milner can shrug off a cold by the weekend. You know, you won't be averse to kind of him starting the game, but again, we've got options that I think we can use, but Naby has to be one of those because I didn't even think about the Man City game, but is he starting that game? Probably not. Do you really want him to start away in Porto? Probably not. I'm just saying to him, like, listen, I know you kicked a bit of grass, mate, but I need you here.
Well, yeah, but again, that's the problem with Naby at all told, isn't it? Is you just don't know. There's no trust there anymore in him. He started the season really well. I've been really pleased with him, you know, particularly scoring that the banger at the weekend. But it'd be nice for him just to be involved because, again, until we know where Thiago's at,
you have to look after him in case if Thiago's out for another two games. You then say to him, actually, we'll wrap you up in cotton wool to make sure that we've got you.
My reading of it, I don't think Naby was meant to play in midweek, and I think he comes in because of the James Milner energy. But that's another linked factor, Chris, because Trent's not trained, so Trent wasn't, well, I don't think he'd have been used against Norwich anyway. Hopefully he'll be back, you'd imagine, but we don't know how ready he is, how much he's been able to train this week.
That's kind of the point, isn't it? Because if you're coming back from an illness or something, and when's he going to get used? If not this weekend, does he throw in Porto then City? Because he's definitely starting City. Do you throw him in after a 3-week absence straight in against Man City? Well, he's so good, you probably do, but it's not an ideal scenario, is it? So you'd rather have him back for this off for Porto week recovery.
Yeah.
See how his body reacts.
Yeah.
So, but then equally, if he's not ready, he's not ready. So James Milner starts.
Yeah.
If he's ready, and if not, Nico's out. So are we on Conor Bradley here? Or are we on Joe Gomez at right back type of thing?
Yeah. No, that's an interesting thing. And again, Conor Bradley, having just come through his senior debut, played the...
Might have to play against Porto, Paul. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it is, that's an interesting one.
How's this happened?
No, it's true.
Not just got that, Chris.
Yeah, but again, the Milner fitness thing is going to be key on that, because at the moment, how fit is Trent and how fit is Milner? Because if Trent's fit, Trent starts. Because Trent starts the vast majority of games, and he probably goes Brentford, Porto, and City, because
England don't use him.
Well, England don't use him. Yeah. Well, because he's young and he's fit, and you know, and he's our best. He's our best option. He's miles ahead in terms of being our best option for that. But if he's not, we're going to need Milner, because then we're into dangerous territory.
Or could we see Costas cutting back in on his left foot and whipping those balls in from right back?
Yeah, doing the opposite Milner job from when he was playing left. But yeah, why not? I mean, again, zero evidence of that happening, but you know, why not? I'm all in on all that, of course.
I wouldn't mind seeing Curt Jones again, actually. Changed my mind, I just contradicted myself. But again, you think about the games that are coming up, do you just need him? He's a young lad still. He's fit and available to go to play two games in 1 week, you'd like to think. So maybe I'd play him for this one. And he's an encouraging performance again last night, I thought, when he moved from the six to the eight.
The Porto Man City thing is interesting. I know we always talk about this. Yeah, and I don't like to get too carried away. But the centre-backs, I think, are interesting, because we've just come out the back of us going, of having Virgil and Matip are our established centre-back pair. They're our first choice at the moment. And then what we did was we split them to get them, you know, to get some minutes for the other lads, and then we put the other lads together for the last game. What do we do here, Chris? Because in my head, Matip and Van Dijk, you want them ready for Manchester City.
Yeah.
So do you just start them here, and then do you mix and match for midweek? And then but then you're asking Virgil or Matip to do three games in a week, or do you follow the pattern that we've seen where you split them off again, so it's back to being Matip and Konate for this, then it's Gomez and Van Dijk whatever, and then it's Virgil,
so,
and
there's two ways I'd look at it. I think that the obvious answer for me is play Matip and Van Dijk in this one, play Konate and Gomez in Porto, play Matip and Van Dijk in the City game. But for me, it depends on what else is available to you. You might find yourself in a situation, if Trent's not back and Firmino's not back and Milner's not back and everything else, Thiago's not back, when actually you might be asking Matip and Van Dijk to go for all three games.
Yeah.
Because they're the most solid centre-back partnership.
Yeah.
And therefore, you want them in the field if the rest of it's going to be a little bit rotated or something. Or you might even see Gomez and Matip in midweek, and Matip might be the one player who's asked to go three times, something like that. But it depends on what pieces you've got available.
Well, it's interesting, the Gomez, because you could, and again, this would go against how we've sort of been positioning Gomez as the left-sided understudy, but you could ask, you could go Van Dijk and, sorry, you could go Gomez and Matip in midweek, can't you? And then, but then drop Matip and ask Gomez to do twice in a week, who's probably more likely to be able to do that, I guess, just because I know he has injury problems, but not in the same vein as Matip.
Do you know why I think football managers go one game at a time? Because it's a complete and utter head fuck.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that might, because you just do your own head in, don't you? You change your mind that many times. It's like, no, this is the team that I'm putting out here. And after this game, I'm going to talk to the sports scientists. I'm going to talk to the players and find out who's available for the next one.
But we'll know.
Because this is wrecking my head.
But we're going to know how much belief they've got in the squad and the rotational things, because Milan and Palace, they're two tough games, and we dealt with it really well. And it was really nice, because you talk about it, 275% teams maybe. But Porto away, that's your second hard. But I don't know, I guess it's the San Siro away. Well, I don't know. We've got a very tough Champions League group. And then Man City, that's a pretty much your hardest week.
But it's the same for Man City, too important. It's important to remember they've got Chelsea, PSG, and then us. And they've got their own injury problems.
And they're all away.
Yeah. On top of that as well. I think if you can afford to rotate, when you've got the drop-off in our centre-backs, there's obviously a drop-off, but I don't think it's massive compared to other areas of the pitch. So if we started with Gomez and Konate, I'm not as concerned as rotating other ways. I think you need to build that trust with them as a partnership. So I thought it might be Van Dijk and Matip this weekend, because Gomez and Konate played last night.
Yeah.
And that's what it seems they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So if those two started away in Porto, it'd be a tough challenge, but I'm not... I don't think it's going to be
Joe Gomez. I'm not worried about Joe Gomez in this.
No. It's not going to be a shit show, is it?
No. Yeah. No, you're not worried about Joe Gomez. He's a top class player who's played in big atmospheres before. Your concern is over Konate. He's not shown me that I need to be concerned about him from what I've seen. Obviously, a big challenge, big different type of challenge, much harder challenge. But I think there is a drop off. I think there is a big drop-off between Virgil and Matip and Gomez and Konate. what I would say is, think of it like this, is that's only because they're so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's still a Premier League, Champions League centre-back pairing for me.
I'm not sure Virgil will be happy about not playing Champions League football.
Don't care about him.
But no, sure, but we do. But we do.
Klopp said he was angry at Postman.
We care about him more than he care. You know, maybe he wants, you know, he'll just want to play, won't he? And I'm thinking about
it's tough love for this.
Yeah, no, exactly. 100% on that. I personally would just copy what we did the other week. And in that I would go for this game. I would go Virgil Konaté for this, because Brentford, as much as they're more than capable of causing us problems, we've discussed this, they are the on paper weaker of the three sides we're about to face. I would stick with Gomez and Matip for the Champions League thing, and then I look at it and decide, can either of those two go again? And ideally, Matip should be able. You're hoping Matip can go again because he's had a full week off since he's last played. Then. And then you're ready for Van Dijk and Matip to go back in for Manchester City, because again,
the thing to consider here is Matip doesn't play international football. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to play Matip for the three games, you know he's got 2 weeks essentially, haven't you, from that?
It's not about the recovery though.
It's him being fit for Man City.
Yeah. Does he break down before he gets to? By the time he gets to game three, or does he break down in the midst of game three? Because that's where, again, there's a probabilities, and you who's the biggest gamble for doing that? Of all of our centre halves, Matip probably is the biggest gamble for playing three games back to back, because he does break down even when he's been breaking down at that for his entire Liverpool career, hasn't he? But again, you're right. It's an interesting point. They've got that break looming at the end of it, so. Maybe you do. But again, this is the point. What's the point of having Gomez and Konaté if you're making Matip go too many games?
That's why I thought we might see Matip and Van Dijk back in for this one and just keep the centre-back pairing from last night together.
Yeah. Midweek.
And again, that will come down to, I think, whether we think that Konaté's ready, because at the moment, that's our weakest centre-back pairing, is Gomez and Konaté. And it's weakened, and this is mad, by Konaté, and that's not because he's not good, it's just because he's not integrated. And do you run the risk of, what is that, how much of a calculated gamble is that for a big away game? We've got a great record, or recent record, in the Dragao, but it's not an easy place to go. We've kind of made it an easy place to go by taking it very seriously. Is that slightly too weakened? That's a weaker defence than we put out against AC Milan. And they're by all accounts a stronger team than AC Milan. So, but Konaté's played more games now, and is he that enough to get up to speed? The answer is that Chris is right. It's a head fuck, and there's no way of knowing. What would you do? Let us know in the comments. Right, let's have a little look at the other weekend fixtures then, and just see what we've got our eyes on. As mentioned there, we did a good bit on this on the podcast this week, if you haven't checked that out. In fact, I don't think we discussed Norwich at all on the podcast, with one eye on it not being dated 8 hours after we'd finished it. So if you haven't checked the podcast out, you can do for free on your podcasting services and on YouTube as well. Chelsea City, Ross, 12:30 kickoff.
Tasty.
Saturday or at the early
kickoff. Which one of them's not on telly? Which one? Because there's two half 12 kickoffs, isn't there? I forgot which one's not on telly.
Got to be Man United.
I think it was the Man United one got moved for something, wasn't it? So yeah, one of them. That's mad, that 2:12:30 kickoffs, isn't it?
Good. The worst of the kickoffs, apart from for your life. But yeah, like Chelsea, Man City, everyone. It's a shame almost in some regards that it's not like Super Sunday, because I like that thing of when the business is all done of the weekend, you hopefully got your 3 points all tucked up, and then your rivals.
Exactly.
But equally, on the flip of that, it's going to be nice to kind of have something to sit down and watching the build up to the Liverpool game to some extent.
Yeah, it's going to be an incredible game. I think obviously two of the ones that are tipped for the title, Chelsea are on a good run. I think they're the same as us, they only conceded one goal, so it'll be interesting how they get on. Man City rotated heavily. I think Chelsea played tonight, did they?
Yeah, they do.
Their Carabao Cup game, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. But it's nice that, in fact, there's not really been so many title contenders over recent seasons. to be able to watch it as a neutral, I think is quite good. But it's also, we're not neutral because we've also got invested interests in what happens in that game. But it doesn't judge the end of the season for me.
They're the best in that because I don't think there's a bad outcome for Liverpool. Really, we discussed this the other day.
You can make a case for all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, for me, you know, a draw is lovely because I think they're both. I think it's a three-way title race, and it is right now until proven otherwise. I'm sure some might argue it's a four, but I think it's a three.
Yeah, Brighton, not Man United.
Yeah, but that's so. Yeah, you know, and that's I can't. It's hard watching Chelsea games. Like, it was hard watching them play Spurs because Spurs gave them a really good game and then
gave up.
Yeah, bared themselves out completely, and Chelsea.
I prefer
just
gave up, to be honest. Yeah,
Chelsea just basically walked all over them by the end of that. So you're hoping for an outcome there. And it's hard watching Man City because you never seem to watch them when they lose. You only seem to watch them catch them when they are annihilating an opponent.
It's because I only watch the first 6 minutes of games. Yeah. Okay, we have seen this script before. Yeah. I don't need to watch this one again.
But it could lead to a situation if Chelsea beat them and then, you know, we come to our game, we beat them. They could be 9 points behind us, which, you know, isn't a lot for Manchester City. They've come back from a lot worse. I'm sure people were reminded of that, but it's just a really good position to be in of you know, take your march as soon as you can take a march.
Yeah, 100%. I would much rather, like I said, for me, I think that, you know, if you had to choose, if you're not allowed to sit on the fence and go for the draw thing, I would rather us probably kill City off because, and then, you're right, that doesn't necessarily kill City off because we know they're more than capable of going on this massive run, but I would rather be in a title race with Chelsea because that side hasn't done it yet. Well, some of them are still lingering on, I guess. They've probably got some people left from Conte or whatever, I guess. But I think we're much better prepared for that kind of chase. And it also won't be seen as a massive miss for them to not win in it, whereas obviously City are just...
They've got other things going on. Manchester City, which kind of plays into that. You know, obviously, Pep's losing his head a little bit. You know, the concerns that they didn't buy a striker, not that I necessarily think that they need one, but all that stuff off the pitch adds on to the pressure for them.
Exactly.
It?
I think that there's a, you're right. Which team is more likely to blow up in the face of adversity? Well, like Chelsea could just sack the manager because we know that they're very capable of doing that if it doesn't go their way. But I like the fact that Pep Guardiola's got to leave at some point. And it's whether he leaves on a high or does he leave in a cloud of acrimony. It's going to go one way or the other, I think. And at the moment, there's a nice narrative around you saying, like, is he getting a bit annoyed with it? And the fans and people are turning, neutrals are turning on City and stuff. I like that. I want to see more of that, to be perfectly honest. Man United, Villa. Villa turned it on at the back end against Everton last weekend, Chris. So we know they've got the capability of causing problems. It's got the hallmarks of that type of team that Man United could well lose against. But I'm very much of this mindset where just presume that Man United have won with a late dot winner, tapping. Deflected winner or tapping or whatever, and then if they get something go against them, then it's
I'm looking at Man United and going, they're one of those sides where come the end of the season, I think you're looking at the top six table and they're at the bottom of it. That's why they don't win the league. I think they win these games.
As in the head-to-heads.
Of the top six, yeah. I think they're the ones where you look at their results against your Cities, your Liverpools, your Chelseas, and at the bottom of that league. And that's what holds them back. I see this as an easy win for Manchester United, and I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, there's a good good feeling at Manchester United now since Ronaldo's coming in, like their home support and stuff like that. I'm sure having fans back in stadiums will add to that. But every time they get one of those... You know, you call it a jabby win, but that was us 2 seasons ago, and we're going actually what was calculating. You know, we earned it. They probably feel the same.
Yeah.
No reason they can't do the same at Aston Villa.
Everton, Norwich, with Norwich still winless. Everton, the shine's just gone a little bit off the Rafa Lucian that was going so well. If you want a bit more insight into that, you had Barry from Toffee TV on.
I'm sure, his mind's changed since the other night. Yeah. But he said something similar. He's like,
are they thinking of the cup run this season?
No, not anymore. It just sways so easily, and I think that's going to be the reason for what happened with Rafa throughout the season, because he said before we played Aston Villa, everyone was sad, everyone was relatively happy, they lost the game and now they're going to get relegated and they've got the squad depth and all, like the typical Twitter stuff.
The mad thing is, like, they're just going to finish somewhere between 8th and 12th because they always do.
Yeah.
And yet every season the pendulum keeps swinging back and forth and back and forth. Lads, you're just kind of irrelevant. You're just going to sit between 8th and 12th every season and that's you.
The point I made to him was the fact that I think Sky Sports and Monday Night Football did the graphic of all the money that like Koeman had spent, Silver had spent. I think Sam Allardyce was on that list as well. And what Rafa spent, and I think his net spend is something like $700,000.
Yeah, it's
so buttons. I was trying to say, does that buy an extra time? Because all the plays that they had that they probably Ancelotti wanted to sell, they couldn't do because same reason we couldn't shift David Garrigo or whatever else. Does that buy him some more time? He's probably not. No,
but they're like throwing James Rodriguez out the door, aren't they, at the moment?
Is he going Qatar or something like that?
By all accounts, like Leicester Burnley.
This isn't mad when the league just goes, let's just keep our transfer window open.
Yeah,
just like
yeah. Yeah, it speaks to volumes that it's how Qatar China. hoovers up these overpriced superstars.
Overpaid.
Exactly. Just like, yeah, oh, go on, we'll have them. Sam, do you want to come here and have some nice weather and get paid loads of money? Yeah, I'd love to, thanks. Yeah, welcome aboard. Leicester Burnley. Leicester really, really struggled so far this season. That's going to be a massive test for them. Leeds West Ham will be a good barometer for where both sides are at, I think, in that one. Wow, God, yeah.
NLD,
the North London Derby, 4:30 on Sunday. That'll be a one of the lowest quality North London Derbies in quite some time. My hope.
The race for the UEFA Conference League.
Oh, God, yeah, the UEFA Conference Derby. Brilliant.
Live!
Yeah, oh, and God. It's live. Ugh. There you go, Crystal Palace, Brighton. Again, that's a derby, isn't it? Apparently there's a lot of antipathy towards both of those teams for some reason.
What's a derby?
All four people.
Palace, Brighton.
Why is that a derby?
I know, it just is. I don't know. I think Ball Street did a documentary on this a few years back, but yeah, it is. That's like their biggest, they've got a massive rivalry.
Brighton used to fight with Hove Albion, and then they came one club, so they need to find someone else to have a fight with.
Yeah, I think they threw a dart at a dartboard from a distance blindfolded, and it landed on Crystal Palace.
You.
Yeah. Or maybe they just hated Wimbledon when they were shared with them, and they just hate the ground or something. No. Who knows? Not that you'd have any real feeling towards Wimbledon. We had some super chats come in. Gareth Robinson asks, and I'll ask a very, very good question. He says, hi, long-term member of the website, Daffon. Why are the build-up shows being released before the previous match final? Words, yes, because of a scheduling issue, shall we say, on this one. Yeah, I was literally thinking this while we were doing this. I want to make sure we're going to move the build-up shows, but we've got some brilliant top secret stuff coming that we're filming tomorrow. Hopefully, I can't announce it till it's done. I don't want to talk about it until it's in the can. But particularly for you guys as a subscriber to the website, it's about to pay major dividends. The fact that we've slightly convoluted the order of previous match to next match. Perfect time.
What every other week that we do it?
Yeah, I know. but yeah, it is. It's something that we're going to address, mate. So yeah, it is a very good point indeed. The large answer is we don't think about it because we've just recorded the final word and we've gone straight into this build-up show. For us, we've done it chronologically, but without considering that, yeah, the final word show hasn't gone out yet on the website, but we're doing the next thing.
Is Gareth going to book the guests?
Yeah. We booked you. Why can't we do this later?
What? Because we've got stuff on later.
What have we got on?
Reds News.
Okay. Wouldn't we have done that earlier? And could have done. Umbu.
Very much could have done.
Nope.
Basically,
nope.
Gareth, what
impossible.
I'm saying is...
Yeah, because I didn't know any guests until half an hour ago.
Ross has fucked it, so hashtag blame Ross is what I'm saying for
and
today's.
And throw a blame Tottenham as well.
Yeah, why not? Saeed Ali, in my opinion, Virgil won't play in the Champions League until Atletico. That's an interesting point, because, I mean, as far as that goes, you want to protect Virgil, without a doubt, because he's your most important defensive asset. And if you're going to rotate him, all of the Premier League games are essential, but you can probably manage your way through. We talked about the four group games. You could go and play for a draw in Porto, and that'd be a decent away point potentially. So that's an interesting point. Not so.
You also, I know you joked about it before. You actually don't really want to piss him off.
Hmm.
So maybe he does play all.
But does he want to be more pissed off? Will he be more pissed off when he's sat holding his knee on a treatment table in 3 weeks' time? Again, you have to make you do it.
To me, it doesn't matter if you piss him off when you're protecting him.
Yeah,
it genuinely doesn't matter. He knows ultimately in his heart of hearts that you're doing it for a reason, and then he knows that when he's fine, he'll be playing every week again. And look, if he can get like what would piss him off is not getting through to the group stages where he's in line to get appearances in the Champions League.
Well, everyone wants to win both, and I think there's a trust in that squad as well. Because effectively, if Gomez is his understudy, he loves Joe, and he knows how good Joe is, and that's what Klopp's saying is, we're winning both of these this season, mate. And also, let's be honest, if you can prove, if you have no adverse reactions in the next few months, I want you to be playing both games a week. But we've also, A, we've got to be in that competition, you've got to be fit and available. So by the time we get to the knockouts, you should be pairing by then. And then you can go. And odds are, we'll have had some injuries by that point anyway, so you'll have no choice but to play.
Playing that Phillips in Porter then.
Yeah, maybe. Wouldn't that be funny if I haven't had the conversation where he's not played Norwich and Nat Phillips just
said it last night, didn't we?
All of a sudden, yeah. Got some cool comments here. Ash Q confirms United are on TV. Thank you so much for that. Angel 1968able says, wouldn't anyone use Gomez at right back if Trent isn't available? We did this a bit. We had this conversation really in the build up to the last couple of weeks, our last couple of games, certainly, Ross. The performance that Conor Bradley put in and the way in which he performed that role, moreover, I don't think Joe Gomez can do that. And he might be he's a better footballer and he's a senior footballer and he's played some really big games for us at right back. But I just think the way in which we play the right back role has gone beyond what Joe's capabilities are of doing.
For security and confidence of, you know, shoring up a defence, I think 100% you kind of play in there, but what are you losing? I think it's kind of what you're getting up there of going forward. You know, our creativity comes from our fullbacks. I think you can only get to a certain point, a bit like, you know, a Wan-Bissaka, you know, get to the, you know, the final third and then cut back, pass it to someone else by the time, and then you've lost momentum, you've lost your space and you're trying to kind of play catch up. Fine, if you're trying to shore up a game, 100%, but I think...
We'll put 3 centre-halves.
But saying that though, James Milne, you probably would have said the same thing, and James Milne played that role against Crystal Palace. Much better against Zaha as well. Much better than I thought he was going to do.
I think it's tough because you're always going what you've seen Jürgen do. And what I've seen Jürgen do is put Conor Bradley in at right back instead of when he had Nat Phillips there on the bench. Mm-hmm. But then if his plan was, all right, I'm not going to have James, I'm not going to have Trent, are you putting Joe Gomez in for two on the bounce in a really tough position in the team where you're up and down, running more than any other one? No, you're probably not. Not with Joe's injury record, not with him coming back from injury. So you might get him a little nice, easy game at centre-half, you know, not loads of running, probably half as much running. And then for one appearance at right-back, it's better than two appearances doing 10, 11 kilometres a game.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying is, it might still be in his plan and he's just decided that I'm going to use it for the Premier League game when it's probably a little bit more important.
Yeah, and just the one thing I hadn't really thought about is that if Konaté was to start this game, that's 3 on the bounce that he will have played in a week. And look, he's clearly... You know, he's had his own injury issues, but nowhere near as much as we're made of it. But I can't see it. There's no need for any of our centre-halves, I think, to play 3 in a week unless you've got the fixtures fall such that you've got Chelsea, massive Champions League opponent, City or United or whatever. Unless you've got 3 mega games, then you maybe ask your best lads to go again. But again, the point is that so far, all the evidence suggests we're just going to keep rotating because... You can.
I'd say you'd be good.
And we're good.
If none of them are available, I'd throw Endo there, me.
Where? Right back.
Right back.
He likes running.
Honestly, mate, he whips the ball in. He knows what's going on that right-hand side. If you're in the shit, I'd rather have Endo there than like a Fabinho. And then you've still got, hopefully, Kurt Cater and Fabinho to play in the middle.
Too soon to tell on this, but I wonder whether Conor Bradley playing right back again against Norwich is an indicator of a lesson learned from last season about playing lads out of position. And I know, look, I know we don't start Tyler Morton and we play Kurt in the DM, but we might, I wonder whether we'll see that, whether we will trust someone who just knows the role more and who plays the role, albeit to a lower level, but understands the position better, rather than play someone out of position who has to learn it but is an all-round better footballer, particularly when you're losing something else in another area of your team. But we can't know until we see more, really. Sid Senor with 40 squiggles, thank you so much. Mach and Pajak at centre back for Brentford. You know, the best thing is we don't need to have those jokes because, you know, Liverpool are stocked, and they were, even when we had our worst defensive injury crisis of all time, we were far too stocked for me and Chris to be anywhere near centre back. So just let's make that perfectly clear. Sly Ross one, which could be your Sneaky side character. Konate and Gomez versus Porto. Matip won't play three in a week. Yeah, we kind of said that before, didn't we? I think he's the one. I think we all were a bit surprised that Matip went again the other week. But yeah, I just think we'll do. I just think
maybe he's put his injury problems behind him.
He's only 29. You know what I mean? You still got for the centre back. He's still young. It's highly possible. Don't bet any money on that. If I had a Fidel Alexander, rather Ox right back than Gomez.
I'd rather Endo than Ox.
Yeah, true. But I'd rather Endo in midfield.
Than Ox. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's one of them, isn't it?
That's why I said Fab, Kate,
but it goes
Jones.
But it goes back to that point again. I think if Liverpool have got 11, if we've got 10 of the 11, all amongst our best players, all playing in their best positions, you can have someone, as long as it's not a really, really mad square peg.
Imagine if you just play three at the back and go ahead, someone else play right wing back, you know what I mean? Because we've got all the centre-backs, we're talking about Joe Gomez moving to right back.
Yeah, 100% on that. Very, very much a possibility, certainly, but probably not. Yes. Brilliant. Let's have some score predictions then, Chris. What do you think?
I think Liverpool are going to win by 3-1 against Brentford at the weekend in the community centre or whatever you said before.
I'm going for another 3-0.
Okay, cool. I'll take a 3-0. 3-0 away seems to be the score of the season. So
okay, far. Well. 3-0 away.
Shit house.
I know, it's because we all called it right last week. I'm just trying to make sure that happens again.
I feel like you've jinxed it by changing now.
3-1 then.
Remember this, but it's 3-1 or 3-0. Thank you so much for joining us for the build-up show. Thank you so much for Gareth for the wonderful question. We will sort our schedule out. But yes, as mentioned, we right now, again, I don't want to overhype it in case it doesn't come off, but it looks like we've got a world exclusive coming up on the redmentv.com, our streaming
service. Great job of not hyping that world exclusive. By the way, Paul.
Maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, everyone touch wood for us. So perfect time to join up on the RedmanTV.com, our streaming platform. It's great. If you want to support what we do, then that's a cool best way to do it, because again, it's how we created that platform. It doesn't get siphoned off by any leeches at YouTube or Patreon or whatever. And if you want loads of extra Liverpool content because you want a Liverpool streaming service in your life like Netflix for Liverpool fans, then we've got you covered on that as well. Brilliant stuff. Thank you, lads. That was lovely. Have a wonderful afternoon. Hopefully a wonderful weekend. Chris and I will return for the watch along at the weekend, and the Starting 11 prediction show is to come. Check all those out and we'll see you there. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.